guys can have a seat. Well, first, I just want to welcome you on this Resurrection Day, on Easter Sunday. Thank you for being here. If you are our guest, we really are. We're so grateful that you are here. My name is Rick. I get to be the lead pastor, and I know you all. We all have plans, right? But if you have just like 30 seconds on your way out, I'm going to be out the front of the building outside. I'd love to meet you. I really would. And if you have time to introduce yourself, I would love to be able to make that connection. Let's jump into the teaching this morning. We are in this teaching series called Been There, Done That. We have been going through this Old Testament book called Ecclesiastes. And as we have been going through this book, remembering this, that it's in the Old Testament, that it's this Hebrew, it's full of Hebrew poetry. It's considered among the wisdom books of literature of the Old Testament. But the whole purpose of this, in this poetic form, he's been wrestling. The author here, the teacher, he has been wrestling with this question. What is the meaning of life? Like, what's the point to all of this? And he has been searching for real satisfaction. He's been searching for a peace. And so, where can I find, he's wrestling with this, where can I find real peace and real satisfaction? And he has hunted for this. He's hunted for it in becoming successful. And he's been successful. And when he got there, he was like, oh, there's still missing something. And he started hunting for it in relationships. And he had a ton of relationships. But every time, every relationship, it wasn't there. He looked for it among drinking. I mean, he like was a, like a wine. You know, I mean, he talks about this throughout the whole book. And he was like, it wasn't found there. He's searching. Where is the real meaning in life? And you know, this is a question that we continue to wrestle with. We all know this guy, right, who abandoned us, but we know him. Tom Brady, early in his career, after only 3 Super Bowl rings, he was being interviewed by 60 Minutes. And in this interview, he says this. He says, this is Tom Brady saying, why do I have 3 Super Bowl rings and still think there's something greater out there for me? He says, I mean, maybe a lot of people would say, hey man, this is what it is. I've reached my goal. I've reached my dream in my life. But he says, I think there's got to be more to this than this. Did he change his mind after the 4th one? Or the 5th one? Or the 6th one? And then he would leave us and go to Florida and try and find it there. And guess what? He got one more, but he didn't find it there either. And then he went on and said, it's not all it's cracked up to be. And what about you? Where have you been looking for real satisfaction, that inward satisfaction? And you thought it was going to come when you got the title. You thought it was going to come when you got that salary. When you got your dream house. And man, it's arranged just like how Martha Stewart would decorate it, right? You thought it was going to be in that. And then it came. And you were left wondering, just like Tom Brady, there's got to be more than just this. So, what we want to do is we want to look at Ecclesiastes chapter 9. So will you take your Bibles? If you have your Bibles, I hope that you do. We always look at God's Word here because it's God's Word that actually is what brings about the change in our life. This is what guides us. This is what leads us. So Ecclesiastes chapter 9. And the big idea today, the big idea that I want all of us to walk away with is this. Living with daily hope and peace starts from a place of surrender. Daily hope, daily peace, it's going to come when we surrender. That's where it starts.
As we look at Ecclesiastes 9, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you just to be still for 15 seconds. That's it, just 15 seconds. I want you to push out all, you know, put to the side all of your plans, like what's happening next, right? And I just want you to be still before God. So will you just close your eyes with me here? And for 15 seconds, I just want you to take a big deep breath. Will you just breathe that in? And then will you breathe it out? And for 15 seconds, let's just be still before God. Will you let me pray for us? Jesus, we're coming to you because we know that you're resurrected. We know that you're living. We know that you're real, and we know that you're here, and you want to speak to us. I pray that we will be able to quiet our mind, our heart, and Holy Spirit of God, please speak. Speak with that small, still voice. Please. Thank you for how you're going to speak here in the next few minutes. Amen. Amen. Let's jump right into his word. Verse number one. Indeed, I took all this to heart and explained it all. So we're halfway through, right? There's only 12 chapters. We're in chapter 9. So actually, we're three quarters of the way through. And three quarters of the way through, after searching for all this, he's gotten to this place. He says, hey, here's how I'm going to explain it all. He says, the righteous, the wise, their words are in God's hands. You see the surrender that he's acknowledging? This acknowledgement that God is sovereign, that's what he's doing here. He's like, their works are in God's hands. People don't know whether to expect love or hate. That's like that blessing in Hebrew form. This is this Old Testament blessing. They don't know whether they're going to find favor with God or not. Everything lies ahead of them. But this idea, but hey, it's in God's hands. It's not in our control. And then he says, everything is the same for everyone. Hold on, what? Yeah, he said, everything, as I look at this, as I scan, everything is the same for everyone. Here's what he means by that. There is one fate for the righteous and for the wicked. We all have one fate. He says, for the good and for the bad. For the clean and the unclean, for the one who sacrifices, the one who does not sacrifice. That's basically the one who worships and the one at church and the one who doesn't worship at church. And that's what he's saying there. As it is for the good, so it is for the sinner. As it is for the one who takes an oath, so also for the one who fears an oath. This is an evil in all that is done under the sun, like here on the earth, here on planet earth. What's the evil? That the same fate comes to everyone. There is one fate for everyone, and that's called death. See, he's wrestling with this idea, why does good stuff or bad stuff happen to good people? He's like this is what he's wrestling with. And he's saying, it doesn't matter if you're good or you're bad. We all have this same fate. It's called death. And we were all reminded of that just this week, right? When that barge in Baltimore took out that bridge and those six construction workers who were on that bridge who lost their life, it didn't matter if one of them was like the best dad, the best community, like he, you know, did all kinds of good things for his community, or if there was somebody who was doing some shady stuff on that bridge, right? If that was what, it didn't matter. They were all found themselves at death when this happened. Because this is life. This is what happens. And this is what the teacher is saying. He's like, what lots going on. But he doesn't stop there. Look what he says in verse number 4. But there is hope. But there is hope for whoever is joined with all the living. So what he's saying, and then here's this Hebrew poetry stuff that I don't always get. Since a live dog is better than a dead lion, right? I don't know how that rhymes and how that's poetry, but okay, right? He's taking the animal, the greatest in the animal kingdom, the lion, right? But he's like, I'd rather be just a dog on earth as long as I'm alive than to be in the king of the animal kingdom. That's what he's saying. So what we're reminded is why we are living. There's a decision that you and I have to make. He says this, for the living know they will die. When we reconcile that idea, this is actually a call to reconcile the idea in the here and now so that you can live with hope. Because he said there is hope. And if you're hearing this today, there's still time for hope for you. But there's a decision that needs to be made while you're still living about where you will find your hope for life. Will you try to find your hope in the career? Will you try to find your hope in the next vacation, the dream home, that relationship? Or will you find your hope in the person of Jesus? We're reminded of the importance of this decision and to make it why you are still breathing breath, why you still have air in your lungs. We find it in the Easter story. In the Easter story, we find two convicted criminals who are crucified with Jesus, having to make a decision before they die. And we're going to peer into this eyewitness account from Mark. And Mark says this, one of the criminals hanging beside him, meaning Jesus, hanging beside Jesus, he scoffed at Jesus. And here's what he said. So you are the Messiah, are you? Prove it by saving yourself and us too while you're at it. Right? Do you hear the mockery in that? Like he didn't believe that Jesus was the hope. He didn't believe that he was who he said he was, who he had been around teaching. But the other criminal, notice his response. The other criminal protested. Like he heard what the one guy on the other side was saying to Jesus. But this guy, this criminal, he says, don't you fear God? Even when you have been sentenced to die? You see, he knows the end is coming. He's moments away from the end of his life. He says, we deserve to die. Like this criminal on the other side is like, hey, we deserve to die. Right? I mean, we're the ones who broke in. We're the ones who robbed. We're the ones who beat them up. Right? We deserve this. But this man, he hasn't done anything wrong. I want you to stop and think about this. Like, how does he come to this conclusion? I wonder if this other criminal might have been sitting on that hillside when Jesus was teaching about who he was and about his kingdom going to come and about what his kingdom would look like. I wonder if he was there when Jesus took that bread and the fish and it multiplied to feed literally tens of thousands of people that were gathered on that hillside. Was the criminal among those tens of thousands of people? Maybe, because look at his response. He says, the criminal says to Jesus, that's the criminal who said he doesn't deserve this, we do. He said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. That criminal must have heard some kind of teaching from Jesus, but you know what? Because he's picked up on this idea that Jesus came for his kingdom, to bring about his kingdom. That criminal knew that kind of language. He heard the message. And he's like, he got sidetracked. He thought he was going to find his satisfaction going down the criminal lane. And he found out where it brought him. And now, while he still has air in his lungs, he's like, Jesus, I acknowledge I'm a sinner. That's what he said. Remember, right? He said that, or we're sinners. We're criminals. We deserve this. You don't. Will you remember me in your kingdom? And Jesus' answer, look at Jesus' answer. Jesus tells him, truly, that's like 100%. He's saying, 100% today, you're going to be with me in paradise. Because that man, in his dying breath, surrendered to the fact that Jesus really is the Messiah. That he really is taking on the sins of the world upon himself. And he had enough faith to call out and say, remember me. Do you? Here's another eyewitness account. In Mark 15, it says Jesus let out a loud cry. So this is noon to 3. It gets pitch black. This is when it gets pitch black, this is when Jesus cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And Jesus let out a cry and he breathed his last. Then the curtain of the temple was torn into from top to bottom. Important, I'm bringing this up because when the writer of Ecclesiastes, what he knew was temple worship. What he knew is you had to go to the temple. What he knew is only the high priest could get into the Holy of Holies. And Jesus came to change all of how we worship. When Jesus came, when that darkness came, God, from the top, notice it says from the top, the curtain was torn from the top to the bottom, not the bottom to the top. God ripped that right in two. Why? Because Jesus was the sacrificial lamb once and for all. No more temple worship. Jesus changed everything. In fact, the Apostle Paul would put it like this, that now we are the temples of God, that God can dwell inside of us from this point forward. That's why there's no need for that sacrificial temple worship anymore. And then notice the decision that the Roman soldier would make when the centurion, that's the Roman soldier, who was standing opposite him, like this is when Jesus cried out his last breath, saw the way that he breathed his last. Here was his conclusion. The Roman soldier had a decision to make while he still had air in his lungs. He says, truly, this man was the Son of God. He made a decision about who Jesus is. Have you? Now, some of you have, but you've lost hope. Some of you had made a decision, and it's been confusing and frustrating for you because it didn't go like your plan said it was going to go. And you're in good company because the disciples and those early followers, they found themselves in this place. Remember when they show up back in Luke chapter 24, the women, they show up at the tomb. When they show up, they're expecting to see Jesus' body was there. They were going to, you know, bring some more spices for that. But when they got there, the body was gone. They were met with these angelical beings. And so and it says, and the women were terrified and they bowed down to the ground. And these angelical beings pose this question, why are you looking for the living among the dead? He is not here, but he has risen. And then these angelical beings say, remember, you're a Christ follower. He taught you this stuff. You need to remember what Jesus said. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee? Like, this shouldn't catch you off guard. Like, God's still in control. There's still hope. He says, remember that it was necessary. Like, this is what Jesus taught these women. This is what Jesus taught these early followers, these disciples, that it was necessary that the Son of Man, meaning himself, be betrayed into the hands of sinful men, to be crucified, but to rise on the third day. Don't be shocked. His body's not here. This had to happen. They didn't understand it. They were confused by this. And then later on, you know, Jesus, after his resurrection, you know, Jesus spent 40 days here on earth. He connecting with those Christ followers, connecting with those who said, I believe, or at least I think I believe, even though I don't understand, right? He's connecting with them. And you know what he says? If you slide down towards the end of Luke 24, he says, he told them that he is Jesus. Jesus told them. So this is in his resurrected body. This is somewhere among those 40 days. He says, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you. That everything written about me, meaning the Messiah, in the law of Moses, meaning the first five books of the Hebrew scriptures, the Torah, everything that was written about me, yes, Jesus was prophesied about them. The prophets prophesied about a Messiah coming. Everything that is said in Psalms 22, right? This prophecy about what would happen on the cross. All these things had to happen, Jesus would say. And then he would go on and he would tell them, this is what was written, that the Messiah will suffer. Like if Jesus is summarizing all these different things that was written about him in the Old Testament. The Messiah will suffer. And he will rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for forgiveness of sins will be proclaimed in his name. In the name of Jesus, we can have confidence that our sins are forgiven. All of our shame and our guilt that we carry with us, you don't need to live life like that. You don't need to try and have some kind of success to prove that you are worthy enough. Jesus has already proven your worth. He's proven your worth by him leaving heaven, coming to the earth, and to take on literally the sins of the entire world upon himself. So that you could experience forgiveness. So that you could experience a freedom. So that you could experience a real peace, a real satisfaction in your life. This is why. This is why Jesus said this. Like, it was hours before Jesus actually, you know, was arrested. So think of this. When hours before Jesus is arrested, this is what he tells those disciples. He says, I'm leaving you with a gift. And here's the gift I'm going to give you. It's peace of mind and heart. The kind of peace that you can go to bed at night and know everything is right. Everything is going to be okay. Even if your world has been flipped upside down. Even if you've gotten the worst diagnosis. You can still have peace with God. And I will never forget, just 2.5 years ago, when that neurosurgeon came into my dad's hospital room and shared with him that the tumor in his brain isn't what they thought it was, but it's actually going to take his life. And he would explain that my dad would have maybe 10 more months. Maybe. And when my dad heard those words, and me and my sister around that hospital room, I was broken. But my dad would look at that neurosurgeon. And he had tears. It was heavy. He had tears. My dad had tears. I can see him right now. My dad had tears coming down. But he would look at that doctor and he would say to him, well, it's going to be a win-win. Because as long as I'm with my family, it's a win. And when my time is done, it's a win because I'll be with Jesus. I'm talking about you can have that kind of peace when your world is flipped upside down. But the question is, do you? Have you made that kind of decision? See, my dad made that decision long ago. See, you and I have a decision to make while we're still breathing about who or what we will surrender to. who or what is it that you are surrendering to? The way that you are living your life right now. If you were to look at your life, who or what are you surrendering to? Is it the career? Is it the relationship? Is it the money? Or is it the person of Jesus? You see, when we surrender to Jesus, because that's where it all starts, that's where it begins, then when we live from a place of daily surrender, let's come back to our text and look what the teacher says. The teacher says, go and eat your bread with pleasure. He says, and drink your wine with a cheerful heart, for God has already accepted your works. He doesn't stop there. He says, let your clothes be white all the time and never let oil be lacking on your head. Basically, you know what? Enjoy life. That's what he's saying. Celebrate life. And then in verse 9, he says, enjoy life with your wife. Or if you're single in here, enjoy life as a single person. Enjoy life as a widow or as a widower. You know, enjoy life in whatever season it is possible to get to this place that the teacher is talking about, to just enjoy life if you have surrendered. Have you surrendered to who Jesus is? That's why we're saying this morning that living with daily hope and peace starts from a place of surrender. So we talk about next steps around here all the time. And if you're online joining us, we're so grateful that you are there as well. And there is a connection card. And on that connection card link are three next steps. I'd encourage you to check that out, to follow that. And if you're here in the room, we have connection cards that are on the chair in front of you. So what I'm going to do is ask you to lean forward right now, like pull out that connection card. Everybody should be moving, right? Everybody grab a connection card. You guys are great at following instructions, right? So everybody's grabbed their connection card, pull that out, because this is for all of us. All of us. I have a next step. You have a next step. It may not be one of the three next steps that we're about ready to walk through. That's okay. But there's a place on there that you can write, say, hey, but pray for me about this. And then what we do is we ask you to take those connection cards and put them in the offering boxes on your way out. And our prayer team and our staff team prays over every one of them. And you know what? God is at work among each one of them. He's doing something. But here's our first next step. And maybe this is yours. It says, I'm ready. Today is the day I want to place my faith and trust in Jesus Christ as my Savior. I know I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. I am ready to receive the only hope that will truly satisfy. See, maybe you have been thinking about this maybe for weeks, months, maybe even a year. But today, on this resurrection day, on Easter Sunday, you're ready. You're like, I am. This is it. I'm praying. I'm circling. I'm in, Rick. I'm going to invite Jesus into my life today, right now. So would you circle step number one? And here's how we are going to pray for you. This is why this is so important. Please put your name on there, because we're going to pray this very week. Because if this is the step that God is calling you to, here's what's going to happen. The evil one, Satan, is not going to like your decision, and he is going to be in all-out attack mode against you. You're like, what? That sounds so weird. It may sound weird, but I promise you, one thing after the other will happen to you. You're going to be attacked. And we're going to pray. Ephesians chapter 6 tells us that we're not fighting against flesh and blood, but against demonic powers in this spiritual realm. And we're going to pray for protection for you. We're going to pray that God gives you insight and that God will become so much more real to you because of this decision that you are making. So if that's you, again, step number one. Step number two is for those of you in the room who's not quite ready. You're not ready to say, hey, I'm all in. So it says, I need to make a decision. You at least you would acknowledge that you need to make a decision about who Jesus is. And my encouragement to you, is I would fall back to Scripture. And what Scripture says is our life is just a vapor. And for those six construction workers on that bridge that night, they never would have dreamt. I mean, they thought for sure of course I'm going to come home. We don't know when we're going to come home. My dad was in heaven and less than a month later. It was not even close to the 8 to 10 months. We never know. And neither do you. And so that's why I would implore you to take this seriously and to really seek God today and over the next rest of the week and just say, God, are you really real? If this is who you are, will you just reveal yourself and listen? Be open to hearing from God in some way. Be open to having the Holy Spirit just like flood you with a wave of not condemnation, but a wave of love. You feeling a sense of love like you have never felt before. Because that's what your Heavenly Father does. He loves you. He wants to call you into this relationship. So if this is you, circle step number 2. Put your name on there so that we can pray for you by name. And then step number 3. Step number 3 are for those of you who have surrendered. But maybe you're in one of those seasons where you're confused. You're frustrated. It's not going how you had planned that it would go. And you need to remind yourself, oh yeah, I'm not in control. I got to surrender. I got to surrender my plans. I got to surrender my kids. I got to surrender my career. I got to surrender this relationship. That's what this one's all about. It says, I have surrendered my life to Jesus, but I have forgotten that life really is about daily surrender. I've tried to control and manipulate the outcome in my life, and it's just frustrating and it's tiring. Are you tired? Are you just like worn out emotionally and mentally? Maybe it's because you're not surrendering. He's calling you to a place of surrender. We want to pray for you. So this would be step number 3. Put your name on there. And we would love the privilege to pray for you. We really would. Father, thank you. Thank you for every person that's in this room. Thank you for every person that has joined us online. And Father, I'm asking that for that person who stilled their mind for that 10 or 15 seconds, and they were so open to hearing from you, I am praying that they heard from you. Jesus, I'm praying that you're going to show each one of us what our next step is. Please come, Holy Spirit. Only you can do this. Only you can bring about the kind of real peace and real satisfaction that lasts until we go and see you face to face. So please, come and move like that.